You may ask about the coronavirus, which is, you know, very well under control in our country. We have very few people with it, and the people that have it are, in all cases, I have not heard anything other. Maybe there's something new, because for 2 days, I haven't been seeing too much of that news, of very much news, because it's been very all-encompassing. We've accomplished a lot here. We had a lot of meetings, as you know.
All right, so this coronavirus outbreak reaching the world of sports in a big way. In fact, this hour, the NCAA has made an announcement that they will hold their championships events, which, of course, most notably would be the men's and women's basketball tournaments, March Madness, as the men's tournament has affectionately been known over the years, with no fans. Only essential staff, limited family attendance is what they're saying.
Breaking news here on CBS Sports HQ, and it is monster news. The NBA has suspended the season after Rudy Gobert has tested positive for coronavirus.
I'm Scott Van Pelt here at ESPN. This astounding and unprecedented story continues to evolve. At halftime with Adrian Wojnarowski, I suggested that we would speak to him soon. I had no idea that it would be this soon. He has just tweeted within the past 2 minutes that the NBA is suspending the season.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
All's my life I has to fight. All's my life I hard times like yeah, bad trips like yeah. Nazareth, I'm f***ed up, homie, you f***ed up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright.
And welcome to a very special impromptu edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, aka iTunes' longest running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. This is the Kings of Sport podcast, and I am your host, the Godfather Nate Milton. And joining me as always is my partner in crime, the man that hails from the City of Angels. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Marcus. I know black people have a lot of home remedies, but ginger ale and crackers is not an effective defense against COVID-19. Vandenberg, how you doing this week, brother?
Nate, what the hell is happening, man?
Oh, man, this is crazy. Like full disclosure, people, like Marcus and I were planning to kind of reconvene this week anyway to do a show. But with the big news tonight, not only coming from Washington, D.C., but also in terms of the sports world, coming from the NBA and also the NCAA, we felt that we had to get on these mics and kind of give our perspective and give our thoughts on the situation. But, yeah, as you said, Marcus, like this – like it's hard like to – because I guess, you know, with all this, you're trying to walk a fine line between – being prepared and not being paranoid, but like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it feels like it really ramped up the last 2 days. So we should start from the big news would be,
yeah, because I don't know if people know what we're. I mean, obviously the title's in their podcast description, but just from our vague discussion off top, I don't know if they know what we're talking about.
Yeah. So. The big news is the NBA season is currently suspended as a result of a positive test for COVID-19, aka coronavirus, by Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert. The Thunder and Jazz were scheduled to play Wednesday night and were seconds away from tip-off when I think it was the Thunder doctor that ran out on the court to get the ref's attention and called the refs over. Refs huddled up and told the players to go back to the locker room. And then about an hour later, we find out that Rudy Gobert tested positive for the coronavirus. So,
Is on the same day that the NCAA made a big decision concerning the men's and women's basketball tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a March Madness when this comes out, it'll be played in front of no fans. So this feels like the NBA suspending the season is going to have a trickle down effect on the rest of the leagues. And currently, you know, the leagues that are playing are going to be playing probably mostly in empty arenas, but this feels like everyone should probably take a timeout for 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, and you know, this is something that, you know, it did just kind of come out of nowhere. Like, obviously it's been something that's been in the conversation for the last couple weeks, but it was always more of a wait and see kind of thing. And I guess, you know, given the cases that have been reported as of right now, I believe the number's over 1,000 in the United States. And obviously the numbers are bigger overseas, but I guess today was kind of the point where it reached critical mass, Marcus, and the leagues had to make that distinction that I think, like you said, you know, the NBA is kind of taking the lead on this, but a lot of these professional sports leagues and entertainment companies, you know, we can talk about the WWE and WrestleMania here in a little bit, but I think a lot of these companies are going to have to take a hard look in the mirror because, you know, how much is a dollar worth? You know, when you're putting not only your audience, but also your employees, you know, your athletes, your performers in harm's way with this coronavirus.
CDC website as of earlier today, 938 cases in the U.S., 29 deaths, and 39 different jurisdictions. So 38 states plus D.C.
And I think, like, when you talk about stuff like this, it's bigger than games, right? You're talking about life and death. You're talking about real issues as opposed to, you know, the quote-unquote seriousness of sports that you and I often talk about when we get in front of these microphones, Marcus. And, you know, Donald Trump, our president, at least for now, came out and basically shut down. Like, you know, he said a lot of things tonight in his address to the country, but – you know, maybe the most impactful from a commerce and also a business and sports standpoint is the travel ban for the next 30 days.
Yeah. So essentially people from Europe cannot travel to the U.S. You can travel. If you're in the U.S., you can travel to Europe, it sounds like. And the U.K. does not seem to be impacted by this, despite having a higher number of cases compared to other European countries. So I'm not sure why the UK is kosher, but yeah, that was the main
takeaway.
Because
our commander in chief is an idiot, Marcus.
Well, yeah.
He's like, nobody's allowed to come here except for my friends who are highly contagious right now.
And did you hear who else has coronavirus, Nate? I know you were getting back from work tonight.
No.
Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're in Australia and caught it.
I know, you know, speaking of Trump, I know that, like, somebody on his plane tested positive.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, this is something that doesn't have allegiances to politics or race or gender or standing in life. Like, yeah, like, this is not something that you can take lightly, you know, playing with your health and things of that nature. So, I think, Marcus, like, When you first heard the news, let's get back to the NBA, because I think this is going to be the big domino, right? This is the shoe that drops first. And then these other leagues can kind of take their cues from the NBA. What did you think when the news first came out, like less than an hour ago?
I mean, I expected, so prior to all this happening, Thursday seemed like the D-Day in terms of either you're suspending the season or you're going to continue the season without fans. And so I figured, you know, we would at least get to tomorrow. But I think once the Thunder Jazz game got delayed and then eventually postponed, I figured, you know, something serious had to be up. This is surreal. I mean, just it feels like it's some type of, you know, movie. And I think part of the reason why I think some people don't take it seriously is because there are pockets of the country that are not impacted yet. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you do see some of the numbers when it comes to mortality rates, when it comes to age, and there's always flu comparison. So I think I think the issue is not so much you getting it, it's you getting it and then spreading it to someone else. And that's where it becomes dangerous.
Yeah, that's the big thing, because like I would imagine most of our demographic, like if we were to test positive for COVID-19, like we'd be sick, but we'd be all right, at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But if you come in contact with particularly, you know, kids or elderly folks or people with respiratory issues or people that, you know, just don't have the best health in general, I think then it becomes a bigger problem. So it's like not so much, like you said, Marcus, that you can get it. It's that if you're not careful and if you're not responsible with your health, you could spread it to other people who might not be as fortunate.
Yeah, and I would be concerned at this point, just do we have the proper medical care in these major cities to handle an influx of people that do have it? So,
to kind of bridge off of that, for everybody that follows Post Wrestling and is over on the forums, there's actually a really interesting thread going on right now titled WrestleMania and Coronavirus. And one of the people that's kind of stepped to the forefront of this conversation at the Post forums is a postmark by the name of Alex Patel. And I don't know if that's his real name or just his screen name, but Alex Patel is a critical care physician in Toronto. Alex's general message is that this is something that should be taken seriously, but it shouldn't be something that causes panic. You know, just the fact, like, it's the logical shift was for this to be upgraded to a pandemic, but that should not scare you. These sound like scary times, but it's not doomsday despite what you might hear. I encourage common sense, asking questions, and maintaining good hygiene practices. Be vigilant, but don't overreact at this point. And I think like that's kind of this balancing act, right, Marcus, that we all kind of have to do where, yeah, you definitely want to take this seriously. Like, this is not a game. This is not play. But by the same token, overreacting and, you know, acting like this is the end times and, you know, going too far to the other extreme, that's not going to be positive or beneficial at all.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I just went out earlier today, went to Target, sort of did not think twice about going out. I think if you, as you mentioned, sort of do the common sense things that you should be doing anyways, and mm-hmm. not putting yourself in situations where you're around crowds. I mean, in talking about close spaces here, i.e., I don't know, maybe I shouldn't be going to indie shows at WrestleMania weekend because probably not the best environment.
Will there be a WrestleMania weekend?
We'll talk about that. I think if you're sort of use common sense, wash your hands, maybe, you know, stay home, chill out. I think the scary part was two parts. One, the president doesn't know what he's doing. So I think
right.
It starts at the top. If there's no confidence in the leadership, then that's going to lead to some level of panic. And number two, because the disease is so new, we don't really know the cycle. Is this going to be like the flu, where the flu is seasonal? Is this going right. to be a year-round thing? Is this going to be a thing that we're going to need vaccines to really actually properly fight it? So I think that's where a lot of the fear comes from, is the unknown.
Yeah, and you know, again, like it's kind of this whole cloth issue when you talk about that lack of leadership at the top, and we've seen it reflected, you know, in the stock market. So this is like having an effect on the economy as well. And so
I think
Marcus, like, this will get to be, yeah, Marcus looking at that 401k,
oh,
like,
boy.
Young Simba, you might have to look at your community college options, sir.
Oh, man.
but I think this is going to be a situation where, unfortunately, I think it's going to get a little bit worse before it gets better. Maybe a lot worse before it gets better. But, you know, because I was watching I don't know if it was Sanjay Gupta or one of these talking head doctors on CNN, but they're basically like, yeah, like it's, the numbers are going to keep climbing. And so it's going to look scary, but the fact that they're catching these cases is actually a good thing, because the more cases we can catch, the less you have for, you know, more rampant community spread. And so, yeah, like it's going to sound scary and it's going to sound like everything is going to hell. But I think, like you said, Marcus, if we just act in common sense, right, and be a little bit more cautious about kind of the spaces we go to and the people that we engage around, you know, we'll be all right today.
And I should point out, with Gobert in particular, in the news that Shams broke, there was a mention that he felt well enough to play. You know, when I had the flu in the past, like, there wasn't much wiggle room in terms of how you feel. Like, once you get the flu, it's a wrap. So I think the fact that in Rudy's case, he has tested positive. I'm sure he had some signs that he was sick, but the fact that he's sort of not down and out is, I think, you know, another thing to look out for is if you feel like you might be, you know, not yourself, who knows, you know, you might still want to get checked out, because even though you're not showing complete signs, that you still might be, you know, testing positive.
Yeah. So let's turn it to wrestling for a second, Marcus, because obviously, you know, if the NBA is kind of putting the kibosh on the season, at least for right now, they're hitting that pause button. If the NCAA, as of this recording, is planning on doing these tournament games, which are one of their most lucrative enterprises of the year in empty arenas, basically, you know, with just limited amount of people. WrestleMania is the biggest event on the wrestling calendar, not only for the WWE, but also for all these kind of satellite entities, whether you're talking about, you know, something like a StarCast, or whether you're talking about some of these indie shows, or even, you know, our good friends John and Wade that hold their yearly post-wrestling meetups in the town that WrestleMania is hosted in. What impact do you think this has? Like, will we even get a WrestleMania this year? Will it be something postponed? Will it be, you know, something in an empty arena? Like, what do you think will happen with that? And will Vince actually pull the trigger and say, we can't do it because we'll be putting the fans, the customers, and also ourselves in danger?
I think the decision will be forced upon them. I can't see them being proactive with the decision. And look, I mean, listen, I get it in a sense that this has been a rough 3 months for WWE, the stock, the network, this idea of flipping Mania to another streaming provider. So there's a lot of money on the line, for not only for the company, but for the city of Tampa. And I think Tampa, you know, I know they have had some cases in the area, but I feel like they're going to have to make that call to whether Mania goes on. Personally, I don't think it's going to happen at this scheduled date, which is April 5th. Could it be a situation where they just move it now to May or June? I could see that, maybe. But the idea of, you know, running this show 4 weeks from now seems unlikely.
Yeah, and, you know, you talked about making that call, and then so I have gotten contact with the one and only Alex Patel, so I'll be trying to patch him in here momentarily. But I think you're right, Marcus. Like, I think, yeah, it as if you're Vince McMahon and you know you have this image of yourself, like, I'm all powerful, like, even the, like, nobody could take me down, I'm bigger than the government, you know, I'm bigger, you know, King Kong ain't got nothing on me. Vince McMahon is always perpetually Denzel at the end of Training Day. But this is a situation where he's got to look at this, and honestly, if for nothing else, the sense of self-preservation, because like we said, some of the people that could be the most affected by this are you know, our elderly brothers and sisters. And Vince ain't no spring chicken anymore. So I think, yeah, it sucks, man, for a lot of people. And, like, I feel, like I mentioned John and Wade, I feel, like, terrible that, you know, this is something that they've obviously been planning on for a while. And, like, they're going to have to cancel it. and there's a lot of indie shows. They're going to have to be canceled. And people are, you know, people are going to have to cancel their travel plans. And who knows what will get refunded or not. And so it's just – it's a bad situation all the way around. But I hope that this is a situation where, you know, the rash – it's the grown-ups in the rooms can prevail and you know realize that this is bigger than them. So yeah, it's again bad situation, but I hope that you know they'll make the right call. I think they almost don't have a choice at this point.
Yeah, I don't think they. I mean, best case scenario is they're able to do the show at an empty arena, and you know I think you. Probably not. You don't do it in Tampa Bay if you're going to do that. I mean, just the optics of it will look terrible. Maybe move it to Full Sail, which would be weird and kind of interesting and unique. And I mean, maybe like, you know, if we continue down this road of sort of this unknown time with, you know, sporting events and stuff, why not try to put it on Fox for, you know, whatever cost or, you know, just to give, you know, not to compare this to what the SmackDown was after 9/11, but it feels like you sort of could get some goodwill by just putting this thing on free TV and saying, look, like, you know,
right,
here's a distraction for you, WrestleMania for free, and it's not going to be your traditional Hello? WrestleMania. We're going to, hey.
And here, yes, Hi. Ladies and gentlemen, I was just talking this gentleman up, but yeah, this is a... unique times, and we had this impromptu show, so I figured we should bring on an expert. You know, Marcus and I can give our thoughts and opinions, but we have somebody who is more learned than us in this. And yes, if you're a member of the Post Wrestling Forum, I'm sure you've had many a spirited conversation with this brother. Alex Patel is on the line. Alex, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me on.
No hey, problem, Alex. Man. Thank you for jumping on with us.
Yeah, no, happy to do so. Obviously, it's been, you know, quite a 24 hours and an already huge story.
So before we get kind of your thoughts on this whole situation, real quick, can you let the listeners know, like, exactly what are your qualifications in terms of the medical field and how you can speak specifically to COVID-19 and the coronavirus?
Sure. So I'm a critical care physician in the Toronto area, and I work at one of the larger hospitals here. So COVID-19, although it hasn't come to our ICUs, obviously is a huge concern just because of the fact that that could be the ultimate destination for most people. And, you know, we've been involved sort of daily in terms of looking at COVID and the effects in Europe and how it might affect us locally. And in terms of, you know, practice with that, obviously, it's basically been the focus of what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks.
And so... when we have, like, Marcus and I were just talking about the NBA and the NCAA's decision with the March Madness tournament, and we were talking about President Trump and his address to the United States tonight. When you see kind of this level of concern, as somebody that has studied this, as somebody that has experienced with this, like, what's the right amount? Like, for the average guy or girl out there that's listening, like, how concerned should I be about this? How serious should I take this? Like, what do I need to do to protect myself and the people around me?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the key question. I mean, you know, obviously it goes well beyond wrestling at this point. The key really depends on where you live. Obviously, if you live in Europe, especially, you know, near Italy, it's quite endemic there now. So you've got to take a high level of precaution, and obviously they've isolated most people to stay home. If you live in North America, and I assume that's the majority of people we're talking about here, what you really want to look at is how the virus is spread. So there are two ways it's spread. The first one is via direct contact with somebody where they can link the exposure. And right now, that's the majority of what we're seeing. So anyone who contracts the virus in North America, for the vast majority, we know how they got it. So they got it from somebody who traveled. And in that case, the risk to the average person is minimal if you're avoiding contact with people who travel and who are symptomatic. Now, I mean, obviously it's not perfect because you can't avoid everyone. You don't always know people who travel. But in general, most of these things are fairly low risk if we're only linking it to known exposures. The problem becomes in a couple of places, and the key examples in the United States at this point are Washington area and in California, especially San Fran, there actually are cases where they don't know how people got it. And people come in and they'll be called that community exposure, which means that we don't actually know how they got it. And that's concerning because that means it's out in the community and we can't really link it to an individual. And when that starts to happen, you can see a high escalation in the number of cases. That's what happened in Italy and that's what happened in Japan. So the key is really to prevent this from becoming a community-borne disease at this point. And the only way you do that is try and isolate travelers as best you can. So for the average person, if you live in an area where it's starting to become more community spread, then, you know, you should be a little bit more concerned about your average day-to-day activities. And that's why you're seeing more aggressive measures initially, at least in those areas like Washington, where they're limiting, you know, public gatherings and things like that. If you're not in one of those areas and the risk currently right now isn't as high that you're just going to get this going to the grocery store or the gym right now.
Hey, let's say if you mentioned some of those high-risk areas, what a situation would, like a self-quarantine of a city, sort of like what they're doing in Italy, be effective in the United States, you believe?
I mean, it depends. I mean, Washington is probably the closest right now. Right? They have the most cases. They have spread where they don't know how it's going on. So at some point, if Washington, there was, I think they have 236 cases, and that is the most in the United States right now. If that number were to continue to escalate, then yeah, I mean, you're looking at a situation similar to Italy where you're going to ask everyone to stay home. We know that the virus, you know, typically is shed by people for about 8 days that don't have a lot of symptoms. The high shedders typically end up in hospital, and those were less concerned about spreading because they're, you know, isolated in the hospital. So, you know, you could potentially be at a situation where people are getting affected for a couple of weeks. So, you know, Washington would be the place to watch. If you're starting to get escalating cases, we know it's sort of a parabolic relationship. So if you get to the point where you have excessive community spread, you're going to start doubling cases. Italy, for instance, was having 1,000 cases a day, to put it in perspective. Mm. Washington has 200 in total. So they're certainly not near that point. They're doing, I think, all the right things in Washington. Like, they're isolating very early on. One of the biggest problems in Italy was that they didn't do that right up front. So they sort of were lax about it. And then as it took off, they suddenly tried to get a hold of it. I think, especially in the United States, where it's starting to creep up more than Canada, where I work, they're being much more proactive about trying to get this under control right away.
As a medical expert, what would your concern be about this really taking off in terms of would the hospitals sort of be able to handle an influx of new cases?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, been the bulk of the planning effort. So to put this in perspective for everybody, because I know obviously everyone's concerned about, you know, what's going to happen if I get this. We know that 80% of people that get this will not end up in hospital. They'll be self-isolated, which means that you will, at this point, go to a hospital, you'd be assessed, you'd be asked to stay home for 2 weeks. It's not going to be super serious. And those people are typically infected for about 8 days. We isolate them for 2 weeks, but we know, based on the latest data today, that it's probably about 8 days. We know it doesn't typically affect kids under the age of 10. So if you do have children, that is a big relief. You know, I have two kids, and I know that's, you know, pretty much one of the biggest concerns. We know that, you know, out of the, like I said, 80% will be fine. We know 15% will end up in hospital, and they will recover. And we know 5% will end up in the ICU, and out of that 5%, about half will die. Those are kind of the numbers based on what we're seeing right now. So the question is, of course, you know, can you overwhelm the medical system? Well, I mean, yeah, about 15% are going to end up in hospital and 5% are going to end up in the ICU. Most hospitals are already undergoing surge planning for this. So we certainly are undergoing surge planning right now. You know, we've been talking to people in Italy, and yeah, they do have a problem where they're getting more and more people in their ICUs. We were talking to people in Washington recently where they said, you know, they are seeing, you know, an increase in cases, but they're still able to handle it. So for now, I wouldn't panic too much that the hospitals are going to get overwhelmed with this. You know, most hospitals are prepared that we're going to see an increase in cases. The vast majority are still just going to be treated at home, and it's only going to be a small percentage. And typically what happens is there are two distributions. When you do nothing to prevent spread of a disease, the actual time that the disease is in the population doesn't last as long, but the peak is much higher in terms of people affected. When you undertake these isolation measures that they're doing right up front, sometimes the virus sticks around longer just because you're isolating people and you're not sort of infecting everyone at the same time. But the actual peak is less. So because of the time force, this method is better when you have a limited resource like hospital beds. And that's what's being undertaken in North America right now.
So, Alex, like a lot of these events, you know, that have been canceled are these large events. And I know that, you know, they're, as far as the news coverage is going, you know, they're talking about being, you know, separating from large groups. But if I'm a person in a community that, you know, really hasn't been hit yet, you know, what, how do I go about my day-to-day life, right? Like, is obviously, you know, the
right.
Superdome is a large building with a lot of people, and
no, you can, for sure. Yeah.
But like, say going to church or going to work or going to school, like what precautions should I take, or should I, you know, at what point should I become concerned if I'm somebody in an area that hasn't been really affected yet?
So I think the first thing everyone, you know, has to remember is that the disease is spread via contact or droplet contact. So you're not going to get the disease being in the same room as someone who has it unless they're in close contact with you and sort of droplets from their mouth end up onto you. Now, that can either end up onto you directly because they cough on you, or they end up on a surface. And based on the latest data from France, about 3 hours they can last on a surface, and then you touch that and it goes to your hand. So the first thing you can do is make sure that you frequently wash your hands and that you don't touch your hands to your mouth. That is going to limit it drastically if you can do that. Easier said than done, obviously, to keep that in mind, because sometimes it's just force a habit, but that is the most important thing. The second thing is obviously don't travel at this point unless you can avoid it. I mean, airports are notorious for this. Planes, because you're in a close proximity to people for a number of times, they're high risk. So if you can avoid travel, do that. And the last part is, what do you do about these congregations? So in general, they recommend something called social distancing, not isolation, distancing. So social isolation comes in when you're in the later stages, but at this point with distancing, what you try and do is minimize activities where you are interacting directly in terms of touching people. So if you're at church and you're sitting there, are you going to be at risk from the people immediately around you? Possibly. So in that sense, there's going to be a small risk. But if you go around touching hands with everybody and handshaking, now you've exposed yourself to, you know, the 400 people or so that are there. So in general, the risk of doing those things, as long as you maintain social distancing, so you're not touching people, you're making sure to wash your hands, is minimal at this point if you haven't had much of an outbreak in your area. And that's really the key. If you have symptoms and you've traveled or been in contact with someone who's traveled, you know, you should seek out testing to make sure that you don't have COVID and isolate yourself until you've been told that you are negative. And if everybody sort of does that, by and large, we can prevent large outbreaks. So to answer your question, you know, realistically, if you're going to an area, do not, you know, interact with people as much and touch hands and handshake and all of that. If you're in an area where you're going to be seated for a long time, that can be a bit high risk. But if you're sort of moving around, like you're going to something where you're not just going to be seated all the whole for hours with the same people around you, it's going to be fairly low risk in most places.
What's the treatment for coronavirus? I mean, is it antibiotics or something else?
No. So coronavirus is a virus. It means antibiotics are effective against bacterial infection. Coronavirus, there is treatment. There are two drugs currently that are antivirals. They're actually medications we use to treat HIV. And those are available to treat coronavirus right now. Now, you got to understand, it's still very early because the virus has only been out a short amount of time. But currently, there are two medications that what we've heard from and gotten reports from Washington and from, we've gotten reports from Italy and China are effective. Those are the two that we are currently trying. Those are obviously prescription-based, so generally speaking, they are giving people prescriptions of these. Like I said, they're antiviral, so a little bit different than antibiotics. They're still pills you take, and they're currently being used for HIV, which is another virus as well.
So I guess one of my last questions for you, brother, is, like, we're in the midst of cold and flu season. Mm-hmm. So how do I, like, are there different symptoms for coronavirus than there are for, like, your common cold or just, you know, a seasonal flu?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I mean, in a lot of cases, coronavirus is going to mimic a mild flu. That's what we know in terms of symptoms are most people who seek out care have fever. And that's the big one. You get fever with a lot of things. In influenza, which is just traditional flu, one of the major symptoms is a headache. This one has less of an association with a headache. But again, these are not perfect things. So they're very similar. In general with this, most people are going to have a fever and they're going to have a cough and shortness of breath. Influenza, those are the major things. I said, usually influenza more so of a headache. In this, though, currently, if you're not in an endemic area, if you go to the hospital, they won't test everyone for COVID. Like, these are common symptoms. Mm. They will, if you're in an endemic area, where, like in Washington, they will probably test you. But in most places, they would also take a detailed travel history to know if anyone you've been in contact with traveled to an area of you. And if you haven't, you know, the vast majority of people are testing negative. To put this in perspective, in Ontario, we've had over 2,000 tests sent, so 2,000 people who we think might have it, and about 40 of the 2,000 have tested positive. So most still test negative. Influenza is much more common. So if you haven't had a travel history, if you have, you know, shortness of breath, fever, bit of a headache, you probably, on the whole, have influenza or one of the other sort of viruses, like RSV, for instance, as opposed to COVID. Obviously, if you have that travel link, then your risk of COVID is higher.
And the last thing for me, brother, is in terms of just, again, you know, making sure that folks are vigilant, but they're not, you know, in a panic state. You know, what in your best guess, because obviously nobody knows the answer, but in terms of duration, how long do you think that people will have to be vigilant and aware about this?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's really the million-dollar question. We don't know enough how weather affects this. So for most viruses, like influenza, as the weather warms up, it's not as prevalent. We always get hit much harder in the winter months. Will this be the same? It's a little soon to tell. We will know shortly, obviously, as we start to hit some of the warm weather, whether that affects it. The best guess is about 12 weeks in terms of what we're looking at for total duration is most people's estimate if we are hit with an outbreak is what it's going to take. Like I said, if you're hit super hard and everybody gets it, the duration is shorter, but the number of people affected is higher. We want to avoid that. We'd rather spread it out a bit longer and just have less of a caseload overall, just not to overwhelm the hospital. So in that setting, you know, if you expose everybody, you're probably at a shorter timeline, maybe like 6 to 8 weeks. But most, you know, guesses are this is going to be about 8 weeks. To give you an idea, in China, where this outbreak started, they're basically reporting fewer and fewer cases every day to the point where it's almost all gone. So that's reassuring and encouraging in terms of timelines. Like, we don't expect it to be here for months and months, I don't think. So I would think, you know, for our hospital, we're planning until June to kind of be the impact season. And we suspect that after that, things will be pretty quiet.
Sadly, I have more faith in China than the United States at the moment. So let that sink in.
Something about their leadership.
Yes.
So yeah,
well, they take it seriously today. So that's the most he's taken in since you know, the other conference.
Today, that's always the variable. But yeah, you heard it here, folks. In the words of Alex Patel, as Kendrick Lamar would say, "We gonna be all right." You know, we just got to be vigilant. We have to take precautions. But man, I really appreciate you hopping on.
Thank you, Alex.
Short notice, man, and enlightening us, not only our listeners, but also Marcus and myself, about the coronavirus and what we can do to protect not only ourselves, but also the people around us.
You know, for sure. I'm happy to any time. I know, obviously, you know, it's going to dominate most of what we're talking about and thinking about. And, you know, the most important thing you can do, I think, is keep in a perspective that, you know, it's not a doomsday thing. Most people, even if you do contract it, are going to be just fine. And as long as we can do, you know, little things, each of us to prevent spread of it. And you know, use some common sense, right? Like try and, you know, not touch hands with a million people and go to large gatherings. Mm-hmm. Then I think we will be okay.
All right, that is Brother Alex Patel. You can
Alex.
You can find him on the post wrestling forums. You know the old saying, Marcus, used to be, "I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV." Well, Alex is not a heel, but he plays one on wrestling forums.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man. You have a good one, brother.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, so that was Alex Patel breaking down the coronavirus, COVID-19, and dropping some knowledge on us this evening, Marcus Vandenberg.
That was great get, Nate. Great get. I feel better.
Yes, we can breathe a little easier now.
Yes.
Just don't breathe on nobody.
No, don't do that.
I was gonna say like that. This might be the most serious episode of the Kings of Sport we've ever done.
We need to have a cold open on the show. No intro. We're just going straight in.
It's just hard journalism out here.
Yes.
But yeah, Marcus, so yeah, this has been a big eventful day, you know, obviously in the world of sports entertainment, but obviously even more than that for the nation at large and the world at large. So yeah, you know, be careful, be good to yourself and others, as Jerry Springer would say, and you know, we gonna get through this.
What do you plan on doing these next few weeks at home outside of work?
I'm staying inside, and I know, Alex said there's no vaccine, there's no antibody that could take. I'm gonna self medicate with alcohol because I hear that's a disinfectant.
There you go.
just you know, who, only thing that could beat the coronavirus is Colt 45
and Corona.
Billy D ain't never got sick. Billy D, 95 years old, still look like he's 45. Oh, yeah, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the show, Marcus. Yeah, who knows, man? Like, this is going to be a wild week in the world of sports, because I think you're exactly right. The NBA suspension of their season is just the first shoe to drop, and we'll see other leagues follow suit here in quick fashion.
Yeah, NHL released a statement saying pretty much check back tomorrow for us. We're still deciding. Major League Baseball currently is still happening. They don't start until the 26th of March, and they're also playing most of their games outdoors as well. So a little different situation, but and the tournament as of now is still scheduled to start next Tuesday and Wednesday in Dayton, which will be empty arena, and then Thursday begins the second round technically, and from here on out there'll be no fans at these games. So yeah, and the XFL carries on. So
again, Vince gonna be the last one to capitulate.
What if this is how the XFL folds because of the coronavirus? Like,
wow,
this is the end, and then TV, you know, the TV stations are like, no, I'm dead for a second season, and that's it. Like, this is what takes down the XFL.
At 30 for 30 finna be lit.
Yeah.
Oh, Vince just yelling at Trump, you sold me out.
By the way, Rudy Gobert, did you see the video, how this all started?
No.
So, a couple of days ago, Gobert was, you know, he thought the NBA coronavirus precautions were a joke. And after his interview was done, he gets up from the desk. And now this is part of the media setup where the media has to stand so many feet behind players and stuff. So all the reporters are at this table, and Rudy stands up and he touches every fucking recorder that's on the table and then walks out the room. And then 2 days later, he's test positive.
Idiot.
So, you know, not only are, you know, players going to be tested, but, you know, Tony Jones, who covers the Utah Jazz for The Athletic, he tweeted that he's going to get tested. He's in Oklahoma City. So, yeah, it's just dumb. So, and it looks like, one last update, the Pelicans-Kings game that was supposed to be played has now been canceled, it looks like. So, the issue there is one of the referees working that game worked the Jazz game recently. So, yeah. So, just a mess, and we are now, I guess, officially suspended with NBA because that was the last game on the docks.
Yeah, this is not a joke. This is not play. This is something serious. And so, yeah, leagues have acted accordingly. So, this will not be the last we speak of this. I'm pretty sure the next time we get on these mics, Marcus, we'll still be talking about the ramifications and the after effects of you know, the increased awareness and vigilance about the coronavirus.
Yeah, I would assume that we should know by Sunday if they're going to proceed with the tournament, because that's Selection Sunday, and there's no point in doing Selection Sunday if you're going to call the thing off the following week. So it would be really unfortunate. I still think that, you know, if the students want to play in empty arena in cities that are not impacted by the disease, then like let them have that moment, you know. I feel bad for the Ivy League, who canceled their men's and women's basketball tournament on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, they canceled all athletics for the spring semester, which includes lacrosse, in particular men's lacrosse, where I think there's three Ivy League teams ranked in the top 20. So it's just, you know, it's... I get it. You're trying to err on the side of caution. And the issue is, like, a lot of these colleges are closing, too. So if you know, college is closed, you really can't have athletics going on like that. So it's just a bad situation all around.
Yeah. So I guess, again, like Alex was saying earlier, you know, you want to be prepared, but this is not a time to panic. You know, you want to be cautious, but this is not a time to get crazy. So we gonna be all right. We just gotta be careful as well. So Marcus, unless you got anything else, man, I'm about to make a run to Costco real quick, give me a gallon of hand sanitizer.
Nope, that's it. We'll probably check in at some point this weekend after.
Yep. Yeah, look for the next week. Sunday. Anytime somebody tries to shake my hand, Marcus, or dap me up, I'm gonna be like Randy Orton, hopping off the side of the ring, like, nah, ain't no tag here, fam.
Yeah.
We just giving head nods for this month. Like, I see you, fam. Mm-hmm. What's good? Oh, man. But yeah, I think that's a good idea, Marcus. We'll check in a little bit and see how things are going. But until then, Brother Marcus, where can the good people find you on these social media streets?
You can find me at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
You can find me at N8, MozaiK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter, Kings of Sport on Twitter, Cospod, KOS_POD, Facebook page, facebook.com/ Kings of Sport. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/ the Kings of Sport. Yeah, I think that's all the plugging we're going to do. So, want to thank Alex Patel again for coming on last minute to drop some knowledge on Marcus, myself, and the audience. And we'll be back in a little bit. And, until then, be safe.
Yes.
Be safe. Be aware. Stay woke. Stay woke on this coronavirus. I don't know why I just like morphed into 90s California gangster voice for that one. Look here, Buster. When you at this barbecue, make sure you're using hand sanitizer.
Cause
don't let these busters get you sick. Let's get out of here, brother.
Yeah. Before all I get right. Shot. Let's go.
What set you ripping, cuz? Light skin. Light skin for life.
LS4L. All right.
So we'll be back. We'll be back next time with an all-new exciting episode of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, for our special medical expert, Alex Patel, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. And please, wash your damn hands, people.
Mm-hmm. You know who you are.
Probably the same people that don't wash their legs. Because you've been down with the King.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat. Cause that's what I do when I get it done so I can do it. Yeah!